Morning, everyone. We will now continue with our Kol B'Seder, our learning of Mishnayos, and the entire Masechta Orla, which has pretty significant Yerushalmi, is all based on just one pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Kedoshim. That's it. The whole Masechta is based on just the idea that when we plant a tree, the first 3 years of whatever fruits that tree produces is forbidden. Now, the Torah begins that pasuk by saying, when you plant the tree in the land of Israel. Yet, the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai teaches us that the dinim of Orla apply all around the world. So we keep Orla even in America. And the question is, when you buy an apple in the fruit store, how do we know it's not Orla? So for that, at least in outside of Israel, so we rely on the fact that the vast majority of apples that come to your fruit store get there from non-Jews. Orla does not apply to fruits owned by non-Jews. There's a question in Israel whether a Gentile who owns the land has the power to uproot the obligations of Shemitah or tithes or things like that. That's a dispute. But outside of Israel, everybody agrees that we don't have these rules don't apply to them. So since the vast majority of apples that come to your fruit store came from non-Jewish sources, so we rely on that. But there's a much better explanation, is that if you plant a new apple tree, that tree is not producing apples worthy for the fruit store in the first 3 years, which is precisely the reason for the mitzvah, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is that the purpose of the 3 years of Orla is because of the fourth year of what's known as Revai. Now, I did explain Revai last week where we did Maseches Maaser Sheni, because Revai is the fourth year produce of a tree that has all the same dinim as Maaser Sheni. But Maseches Maaser Sheni does not contain the laws of... Maseches Orla does not contain the laws of Revai because they were covered in Maseches Maaser Sheni already, because they all have the same dinim. So whatever your tree produces in the fourth year, we're supposed to take to the holy city, take it to Jerusalem, and eat it there in a state of ritual purity. And just like Maaser Sheni, if the fruits are too numerous, because God has blessed us with so many fruits, with 10,000 bushels, you're not going to be able to take so much of that to Yerushalayim if you live in Haifa. So what you do is you redeem those fruits where you live, carry the redemption money, the gold or whatever coin that you're using. It's a token that has to have an image on it. It can't be a slug. You take the coin to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim you redeem it there and buy back fruits there. So that is something that helps the economy of the holy city, and it keeps things moving where you are also. There's a lot of commerce going on. So this is an excellent way to keep the economy rolling along while performing a beautiful ritual of eating your crops in the holy city and going there on a regular basis, right? So obviously an orchard or a grove, the trees there and the vineyards there are much older than 3 or 4 years. So Revai is just something you do once on a tree, right? Outside of Israel, we still keep Revai. In other words, we don't eat the fruits in the fourth year, but only on grapes. Okay, and it's called Kerem Revai. Other fruits are called Neta Revai. If you recall the beginning of the sixth parak in the Maseches Brachos, the Gemara talks about deriving the idea of making a bracha before we eat from the din of Revai. The Pesukim with regards to the din of fourth year fruits that relate to the source of making a bracha bichlal whenever we eat. Okay, so the word orla, the word that the Torah uses for these fruits of the first 3 years, is similar to other words like aral sfosayim, meaning closed lips, when Moshe complained that he couldn't speak well. The terminology actually is used for quite a few different body parts. Prophets speak about Aral Oznayim, the ears that are closed to hearing the words of the prophets. Or the Torah itself speaks about a heart that is Aral, right? Arlas Levavchem, the Orla of the heart, something that covers up the heart. If you can perhaps think of, you know, what we did last night in our Minchas Chinuch Shir, is the Orel on the that needs to be uncovered on the bris, right? So Orel is a covering. It covers the fruits that you should not be eaten. Okay, so the what's fascinating, I think I mentioned this sometime earlier, is that in the Code of Hammurabi, a Babylonian law code that predates the Torah by hundreds of years, he has a rule there that says whenever you plant a tree in my domain, the first 4 years of that tree's existence, the fruits belong to me. And only by my largesse do I give you permission to eat the fruits of your trees in the fifth year. It sounds very much like this rule, at least with the reasoning given by the Sefer HaChinuch. Only Hammurabi made himself a god, wants to, his subjects to feel that they eat their fruits by his largesse. And of course, the Torah says no human being has that power. We eat the fruits by the largesse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who allows us to have the fruits. So how to know when a tree has fruits that are 3 years old? So there you have to look in the first parak in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah that talks about Tu B'Shvat and the new year for trees. But the halacha l'maisa that has come down to us is that there are three opinions in the Rishalmi to know when a tree reaches its birthday. One opinion is 1 month plus 3 days. Another opinion, 1 month plus 2 weeks. Another opinion, 1 month plus another month that passes over Rosh Hashanah, then that fruit is now a year old. Okay, we paskin like the middle opinion, 1 month plus 2 weeks, 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, if a tree was planted, that tree is 1 year old on Rosh Hashanah. This has ramifications for Shemitah also. You're not allowed to plant this middle opinion 44 days before within 44 days of Rosh Hashanah. If it's planted more than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, then we feel that we didn't do work in the Shemitah year. For 44 days after a planting, it would be the within that time would be the land would be working on your what you planted. So then we can't do that before Shemitah year. That day happens to be Tu B'Av. So we can't plant this coming summer any trees in Israel after Tu B'Av, because then the Shemitah land will be working on that pit or that prat or whatever we're planting. So too, with respect to Orla, so the next year, on Rosh Hashanah, that fruit tree will be 2 years old. The year after that, it'll be 3 years old. So a good time to plant the trees was somewhere in the beginning of Av in order to get that year in for Orla. Okay, so that is the middle opinion, which is always good to hold from. And that is then we have to get through the Ravai. And then in the fifth year, the fruit belongs to us. Okay. I mentioned the sixth parak in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara there says that if something applies to Orla, then its bracha is Borei Pri Ha'etz. And if something applies to Kilayim, which we discussed earlier, then its bracha is Borei Pri Adama. No fruit can both be Chayiv in Orla and Kilayim. The Masechta also talks about Harkava. If you recall, that's a major issue in Maseches Kilayim of grafting two different trees together. Kilayim talks about all the things we shouldn't mix. It has a very much an inyan in Maseches Orla as well, in the first two prakim, because there are some times where if you would take a natia from a new tree, take a shoot from a new tree, and then graft it onto an old tree, there are some instances where the rules of Orla will come back to that tree because it's a new tree, right? And sometimes a tree is uprooted from the ground and then it's replanted. Do we have to start the years of Orla over again? This Masechta talks about all those things. And since Orla is very prohibited, it's prohibited b'hana, even in benefit, you certainly can't eat the fruits, but we're not even allowed to use the fruits for as a dye or to burn the peels, right? An oven that's heated by burning the peels of fruits of Orla makes the oven forbidden and the bread baked in it forbidden. It's amazing, right? And so there's a lot to discuss in three prakim, but it's actually most of the Masechta is very lumdus. The smicha students should really study it, because most of the Masechta is about the dinim of taruvus, of mixtures. What happens when orla mixes in with something else? Right? If you use an orla product that for a spice, let's say, that spices up something else or anything of that sort, what do you have to do with the mixture? That's a very big Indian in Maseches Orla. Okay, so this is a small Masechta. There's a lot of Yerushalmi Gemara, though. There is no Talmud Bavli, and we will complete the Seder Zeroyim in Yom Hashem next Tuesday, when we learn Maseches Bikurim, and then we will next week be learning on Tuesday Seder Zeroyim, and on Thursday we're going to start with Seder Moed, Maseches Shabbos. So I would like to mention again that we've been learning for Yosef Binyamin ben Menachem Mendel, dear friend Joe Newman, and also today for Refuah Shleima for Gavriel Chaim ben Sasha, and you should have a Refuah Shleima, and everyone should have Shalom al Yisrael, and we should all enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bounty and his fruits, and may we be zochet to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael and fulfill the mitzvahs of Seder Zeroyim in our holy land. And Orla is one of the Masechtas where in its entirety it applies not only in Israel but outside of Israel as well. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Kol b'seder. Enjoy your learning and stay safe and stay healthy. Kol tov.